I'm nervous.
Pulling a plane. Pulling a plane tech show.
Hey, Fat Bottom Link, you make my rocket world go round.
That's right, baby.
Get on your bike and ride.
Woo-hoo! No, according to the guys on IRC, I'm bullocks, which I guess they are telling me is testicles. So.
Balls.
Yeah, we'll scratch your chin, mine are itchy.
Yeah.
Welcome to the...
It's good thing I have this beard.
We can't make it on the tech net.
Right, already. 5 seconds into the show, we have already done the adult content bit for the day.
Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah, what he said.
And we are here at episode 81.
Show number 81, yeah.
A monumental episode.
That's right, because you know why?
It's show 81.
It's more than show 80, that's why.
It's one more.
It's one more.
Plus one.
Do we have... you know what? I'm so
these go to
lost what we do anymore because either Link's here or he's not here.
Yeah.
And when he's here, sometimes we have promos that go on. I don't know what goes on anymore.
I got some promos, and here they are, kind of, sort of.
This is Pete from Wisconsin. And when I'm not milking cows, I'm listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Or bulls.
Vous êtes en train d'écouter de Linux Link Tech Show.
Hi, I'm Matti from Finland. And I'm listening to the Linux Link Tech Show when I'm not wrestling with polar bears.
Are you tired of when iPodder crashes or misses a podcast? Is iPodder X not powerful enough? Are you tired of the software not doing what you want it to do? Do you need a podcatcher that works on multiple platforms such as Linux, Mac OS X, AIX, and even Windows? Then try BashPodder. BashPodder does what you want it to do and when you want it. BashPodder, it just works.
Podcasting, baby! Yeah!
And there we are. We're back again and rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Did you, this was
when
on.
You turn
on,
that down, it turns him down as well.
Is it turning him down?
Yes, you didn't just turn down him.
Oh, we'll have to turn it back up again.
You should turn down yours.
Blasting everybody else. I'll turn mine down.
Turn the music down.
Damn. Oh, it's a background music thing going on. And Alan's got a piss for everything.
It's just a slight mixing board technicality there.
Is that what it is?
Dan is scaring me. He's like motioning with his finger for one of us to smell it.
Hey, pull my finger.
As you guys, it was posted to the LV Lug list today by John, and it was on Slashdot. Did you see that's
idiot hacker?
Idiot hacker.
I read that today during lunch.
What did I miss?
That was good. Some idiot hacker got on this IRC channel. I think it was it all in German, and a guy translated it and put it up on his website.
So, yeah.
And the guy went on there, and he got pissed because he got bounced. And he had a ping timeout, right? So, and he came back saying that they kicked him. And the guy's like, no, I didn't kick him. He said, well, you know what? Yes, you did. I'm going to hack you. So he said, what's your IP address? And he saw the guy's IP address was 127.0.0.1.
Rocket scientist.
Yeah. So the guy says, I'm going to hack you. And he's tried to hack that guy's, you know, he said he's putting it in. He's going to give him a virus.
Home address.
And the next thing you know, he goes out. You know, and he comes back on. He did another ping timeout because whatever he tried to do, I don't know. And he's yelling at the guy because he has a firewall. So you have a firewall and it disconnected me. You know, he's like, you turn off your firewall. Or I'm, you know, so I can hack you. And he kept going. Finally, eventually, the guy said, okay, I turned off my firewall. You know, because he was laughing the whole time. So the guy says, okay, I'm going to delete your drive. So he started like, he's like, I'm deleting your, what was it, G drive. And then I'm deleting your F drive and E and my D drive, your D drive. And apparently when he got to C, he had another ping timeout.
He wagged himself up
never
ping came
back. What an idiot.
Oh,
it was
funny.
Good, but I put the link to that in the IRC.
Oh, yeah, cassette. That's pretty fun. I'll have to check that out.
Oh, you know, before we go any further, I do have some stuff for you guys this week.
Remember, Twinkies are 75. What do we got? Twinkies are 75 this year.
Twinkies are now 75 years old. What do we got?
Star Wars, Revelations.
Oh, I heard about this. This is the
I got it already.
You have it on DVD? Movie?
No, this is this DVD.
That's DVD.
Really?
Yes.
Sweet. It's a DVD you made out of the one that was on the net.
No, I just downloaded the DVD ISO, and I burned it using this right here, Ubuntu.
I'm going to take it.
Nice.
DVD,
you get
man,
to get the commentary.
Thank you, sir. Cool, thanks.
I've seen it.
I did download it and watch it, even though it took me 2 days to get it because it was just hammered when it first came out. I thought it was really pretty. In fact, I thought it was fantastic for the fact that it's a fan film.
Right.
You know, I was absolutely blown away. Like, they have, like, the motherships floating around and crap. Well, it was really good.
I was amazed with the quality of the special
effects. Dying to check it out.
But I really would like that. I'm going to really dig watching this on DVD, though, because I'll put it on my big screen TV and watch it. And
you got a big screen TV?
Really get it. Well,
I'm coming over,
big
man.
Screen TV to me is 32 or 34 inches. Oh, okay. That's what it is. That's big enough, big screen to me. Considering I sit in front of, you know, a 17 or a 20-inch monitor all day long, 32 inches is pretty big, I guess.
Have you guys seen the other spoof Star Wars fan film, the Seth Apprentice? Seth Apprentice?
No, I've seen...
funny as hell, man.
I've seen a handful of them, Troops. No, wait. Yeah, Troopers?
Troopers.
Yeah, Troopers.
Now, that's one I haven't seen in a million years, and I would love to have a copy of that. If anybody has one, please.
It's on Fan Film.
Is it Fan Film?
Troopers is on there.
I haven't seen that in a million years. That was funny, man.
One where this kid was a spoof on The Sixth Sense, and this kid would see old people and
old
Jedi.
People.
He would see Jedis or something. I thought it was awful, but
it's funny.
Or when the Sith stole Christmas.
I didn't see that.
That looked like it was going to be good, but then only ones
I've ever seen is
R2,
like
so.
Troops, which was, you know, that's a long time ago, and this one, which I downloaded.
Well, you saw the World's Finest. Did you see that one? And Grayson. Did you see?
No.
You never saw Grayson?
No.
With when Batman dies and
no.
Dick Grayson comes out kicking ass and no. Like everybody in the DC universe.
No,
is in
I
it.
Must
that
be
really
missing
good.
All of these things, man. You got to hook me up with there some of these because that sounds really cool.
I used to have a bunch of them on my hard drive that died and I never backed up. I'll get them for you.
Alan's got it fired up over here, man. It looks great. The menus look awesome.
Yeah, and like I said, that was burned.
And one of these days, I'm actually going to clean the screen
so you can see it.
Yeah, I burned that through Nautilus on. But I only have a DVD burner in this power PC here.
Oh, cool.
The PowerBook.
Cool.
So I did it first. I tried it because I wanted to get a copy of it. I didn't know if it was going to work in Ubuntu. So I tried it on.
Oh, there we go. We got sound effects from the DVD.
I tried it on OS X because I wanted to see if it was actually a DVD that I could play. And then I burned the rest of them in Ubuntu. I did four of them.
That's really cool.
Five of them. Three, four, five.
But hey, you know what? Speaking of Ubuntu, you know, like I've been really, really busy these last couple weeks and haven't had a chance to do much anything really outside of work. But today I decided that I was going to do an Ubuntu upgrade because I actually have two machines that I use regularly that run in Ubuntu. One is my wife's machine, and the other one is, like, my secondary workstation at work. And they're both running, like, Warty. Like, Warty when it first came out, Warty.
Yeah, the original.
And I'd never done any updates on it or anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just been since I put the CD in and ran it, and it's been running that way ever since. So I did, like, 5 quick minutes of research about upgrading from Warty to Hori.
Just love the name, too.
Mouthful.
I told my wife tonight, I said, now you can tell everybody you're not Warty anymore, you're Hori. But no, I read, and the only thing I heard, and I know you did an upgrade recently, Dan. The only thing I heard anything about was some people were saying that, was it like X wasn't getting upgraded right, or GNOME wasn't getting upgraded right because they were running it at the time. So what I did was I'll tell you the steps that I actually did to do this, and this is, like, the coolest thing. All I did was I dropped, I went into and edited my init tab so that it started up on 3 for default instead of 2. And then I went into the etc rc3.d directory, and I moved the S99 GDM file to K99 GDM. Basically, what that does is the S in front of any of the files tells it to start it, and the K tells it to kill it. And GDM, of course, is the display, the login manager. So I just wanted to move that so it would log in. You know, I could do an init3 and it would come up in a console. And so I did that, and I actually just rebooted the machine. It came up at a console. I logged in and went into my Etsy apt directory, and there's a sources dot something in there. What is it?
What are you looking at me for?
Yeah.
It's the
sources dot list or something like that. Anyway, you go in there and you replace everything that says Warty with Hori. And then this is all you do from then on. You do a apt-get...
Disupgrade.
Upgrade. Or no, it's a...
Update,
it's
an upgrade, apt-get
update. And the next command is apt-get dist upgrade. It's like dist-upgrade. It asked me two questions. Right, it went out and fetched all these files.
Upget is great, man.
It asked me two questions. One of them was, did I want to overwrite my printer config that I already had there, and did it mind if it overwrote the GDM conf file, the one that I renamed to K99? And you know, I told it no, I didn't want it to overwrite my printer stuff because it has my printer config in it, right? And I told it, yeah, go ahead and overwrite the GDM conf file, and it overwrote that. And 2 hours later, and that's all I did. I pushed two buttons, and 2 hours later, it was ready for reboot. Came right back up. It's running Hori.
Sweet.
Everything's beautiful. Hori seems to run a bit smoother to me.
Hori runs very nice. I put Hori on a machine at work today. It's a 233 with 96 megs of RAM in it. On and actually runs enough.
It actually runs.
It's not fast by any means, but it is extremely usable, with GNOME running on it.
I was totally impressed. And my wife was flipping out because I said, I'm going to upgrade your computer. And this computer has been problematic, and we've had problems with it. Well, if it's been problematic, I guess we have had problems with it. This computer has been problematic in the past during upgrades and stuff like that. So she was a little bit hesitant about it. However, I assured her that it was absolutely smooth at work today, and I did it at home before I came to the tech show, and it just worked like a snap. I'm so impressed with that. Let's see you do that with, Windows or something.
Gen 2 would be still compiling.
Now, you know what? When I did my upgrade, all I did was go into Synaptic, change Hori to Warty.
Uh-huh.
Warty to Hori. Yeah, Hori to Warty. Warty
to
Hori in the sources list. Press the button and it went.
You didn't like have any problems with it upgrading different packet? Did you have to do the upgrade a couple of times to get everything upgraded?
Nope.
Huh.
Then there was a second part that said, go down and use apt-get and do like the base files. And I didn't know if that was a part, because it said do one of two things. Either if you're going to use Synaptic, go this way. And then number two, it said you could use apt-get, change the sources, use apt-get, and do kind of like what you did.
Right.
And then there was another step under the number two, and I didn't know if that was for both of them or just number two. And it said about make sure you have the base system, upgrading the base system. So I did the base system. I rebooted the machine and looked back since.
That is so cool. Like, you can upgrade your entire Linux operating system
with just a couple of keystrokes,
and you never have to reboot the computer.
That's the way it's supposed to be, man.
You never have to. The only reason that I wanted to reboot this machine, other than the fact that I wanted to boot in it to console mode to make sure everything went right.
You had to reboot to put a new kernel.
Reboot to get the new kernel right, because the kernel was upgraded. Otherwise, it could have kept running, on the old kernel. I could have just start X and off I went, But no, it needed to reboot to get the new kernel in memory. And once that's in, it'll run until the next release, I guess.
I'm going
to
try Kubuntu, with the KDE.
With KDE. I have heard mixed reviews about that.
Some people say it runs really good. Other people say they've been having problems with it.
Yeah. Every now and then, a lot of people, the KDE freak people really, really like it. Because, it's KDE.
KDE, yeah.
And everybody else seems to think that KDE is, slower than a dog on it. But, I would be interested to hear your review if you were to install it somewhere.
I'll try it.
As a little segue before I talk about KDE, remember last week somebody closed the lid of the laptop with the wireless dongle in there and smashed the screen.
Yeah, I did.
That,
I did
that night, I went on eBay and I got a chassis. 12 minutes before, was it 12? It was like 12 minutes before the auction ended.
Right.
But I found this thing.
You didn't get sniped?
Huh?
You didn't get sniped at the last second? That always happens on
eBay. Luckily, I put in high enough. Because I went online. I said, well, all I need is a screen. I could buy the screen for like, I was seeing places sell it for $350.
Woo!
Now, the whole chassis, which was everything without like the hard drive, processor, memory, and keyboard, was going for $250.
Right.
So on eBay. So I bumped it all the way up. I got it for $289 was what I eventually got it for. And it came a couple days later. I got it yesterday. I slapped the damn thing together and
off it goes.
Yeah. It's running great now. But
yeah.
Until the dog jumps up on it and bounces it off the table.
Until somebody else shuts
the dongle.
I'm going to
be able
about
that now. I'm really. But anyway, that runs.
Oh, is that the chain I saw? Chain to the floor there. That's it. He's got the laptop wrapped around.
That's running Slackware 10.1. And the default window manager I have running is KDE.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know what? I don't mind KDE. I don't think I'm up to running it. Like, I like my Fluxbox or my Window Maker. Or, you know, I also use XFCE.
KDE.
But, yeah.
I run KDE.
What I do like to do with KDE is every so often, because I use it so rarely, is just go in and look at the new stuff they've added.
That's what
you
I do,
you just start
too.
Picking through the menus.
Yep.
And you click on something, and maybe it'll run, and maybe it won't. Like, for instance, the screen resolution thing.
Yep.
I couldn't get it to run on my laptop down here. I don't know why. I fired up, and it wouldn't do anything.
What version of KDE is it? 3.3?
I think it is.
3.4 is really nice.
What's on Slack 10.1?
3.3.
I run XFCE on my Slack 10.1. Which, by the way, you know, contrasting Slack 10.1 to Ubuntu, Slack 10.1 is still faster.
Yeah.
My personal opinion. So, you know, now, not that I don't like it, but Slack 10 is Slackware is always better.
You've listened to the new episode of Lug Radio or Lug Radio.
Oh, yes, I have, Dan.
Lug.
I wanted to mention some things about that tonight. Yeah.
Now, did you notice they did their evil distro wars and they did three Debian distributions?
Right.
But then they only brought up Slackware in the context of the
Zealots.
The Zealots. Yeah.
It was very wanting. Zealots.
What's up with that?
Would that be us?
The Zealots.
Must be.
Their reviews were very wanting.
They
didn't cover quite a bit.
Well, I think the whole point was whether or not they give back to the community.
Right.
That was the evil factor.
It's just, it was dependent on what each person thought. There was no, you know, deciding force behind it that they all had to adhere to.
No.
They just said, you know, on a scale of 5 to -5, how evil do you rate? Blah. You know, they didn't have to give any, they didn't have to adhere to a specific set of reasoning, I guess. They could just say, you know, I hate.
Well, I thought they
I
all
hate
basically
Red Hat because
focused
they suck,
around whether or
know,
not
or
they give back to the community.
Well, a lot of them did.
Yeah.
A lot of them did.
All right, go ahead. Continue on. I'm sorry.
No. Go right ahead.
No, I'm done.
Talk about
finished.
Your Lug Radio. I noticed they had a long diatribe on whether or not we sold out to get RMS on.
Bunch of sellouts we are.
And I just wanted to make a public statement that was my take on the thing the entire time. However, I was outvoted, I guess. And Dan was sneaking in the GNU Linux Link Tech Show stuff on me.
Hey, you know what?
I don't think of it as selling out.
You
I'm a sellout.
I agree with a lot of that.
Dan is so full of shit. His eyes are brown. Look at him.
Kissy, kissy brown nose. Kissy, kissy brown nose.
I sold out, too.
Well, I didn't.
Yeah, but you're
I
Pat.
Didn't really talk at all. So.
You're Pat. We expect that, and Alan just didn't say anything, which is normal. So
you're the PR
Piss
guy,
you.
Pat. You're supposed to sell out.
Yeah, that's your job.
Hey, I got him on. Bottom line,
then we had him on, and
yeah,
it was a fun interview. And I think a couple of things that I've heard people say about the interview has been, you know, kind of along the lines of, I thought he was pretty cool.
Really. The only thing that I've gotten out of it, like emails that I've heard from people is boy, what a commie pinko bastard he is.
No,
that's the only thing I have heard.
You know, in a
different
circles.
But I really did enjoy the interview, though, especially the last part, like the human part where everybody found out that he wasn't like Joe free software machine kind of thing, where he's
right.
like looking for a girlfriend and stuff
I
like
think
that.
People
that was interesting,
were,
you know?
I think a lot of people expected, and I did too, from never actually, you know, talking with him or hearing him give a speech, that he would be all fire and brimstone with
uh-huh.
his ideas. And he really... Or, you know, wasn't. Or over,
well, he
overbearing.
Wasn't overbearing, yeah.
Too overbearing.
I have heard him speak before, though, and have heard him be overbearing. So I was pleasantly surprised that, you know,
I thought
other
he,
than the political diatribe
exactly.
that he had to endure.
I thought he was good. Until
it
he,
was pretty good.
Until he got into the politics.
And then, like, you know, the personal stuff at the end, I really enjoyed that. That was pretty cool.
I'd actually. Like to get a kick out of the politics part, but...
That was too out there for me, man.
Woo!
The question was, how evil was Gen 2? They didn't review Gen 2 this time
No,
around.
They did. Linspire and...
No, they didn't. I thought
or was
they,
it Lindo?
They didn't know. They
no,
did
it's Linspire. Xandros.
Xandros.
Didn't they say something about Linspire?
They did Xandros, Ubuntu, and...
Fedora.
Didn't no, they Fedora did, it was all three Debian. About? It was Xandros... Ubuntu and
oh, they kept talking. You know, I heard them talking
did
about
they do,
Fedora.
Was it Lycoris?
You know, now I'm gonna. I think it might have been.
I think it was
Lycoris.
Xandros.
I don't think it was Linspire, and they didn't do Nemepis.
See, no, and I just listened to this thing. Like you think I could remember like four
yeah,
hours
I listened
ago?
To
right,
it last night
I listened to it like 4 hours ago, man.
I was short though. It was like 45 minutes, yeah, less than that.
Remember.
I think I don't know. What are they doing
I'll
over
have to
there?
Go listen to it again.
What are you shaking your head for, Pat? You disappointed?
At what?
You know what? Speaking of this, we have Dave Slusher coming on next week, right? Next week?
The 11th.
The 11th. 2 weeks from now.
No, next week.
Next week. No?
Next week's not the 11th.
The 2nd, no? No.
Is it?
Next week's the 2nd.
The 4th.
4th, yes.
Yeah,
it's coming
fourth.
On the 4th. It's coming on next week with the XFCE. All
guy. Right.
Yeah.
So we got Dave Slusher coming on. Podcasting.
Podcasting.
How you guys, it came out, hit the big time back in November.
Well,
was
it started around August.
Right, but it really year. Hit big in November. I mean,
yeah, probably around that.
Podcasting, baby! Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. A little sound effects here. Gotta do that.
What has been your experience with it so far? I mean, have you kept up with all the stuff that you were trying to listen to back in November when it first exploded? I mean,
oh,
who are you listening
no.
to now? Do you listen to a lot of different podcasts or?
Well, I know you guys go with the tech stuff. I usually go for like just, you know, people talking because I usually listen to driving back and forth to work, and the last thing I want to do is get technical at that point on it.
If you're doing technical reviews, aren't they talking? Are they humming?
Oh, no. I listen
MP3.
To Slusher. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I listen to Dave. I listen to. I still listen to Adam Curry's one in the morning. It's about three other ones, and I can't even remember who they are right now.
Look at Pat shaking his head no over there.
The only ones I still the only ones I still listen to is the Linux related ones. Sean Parsons in a Linux box.
Yep.
Yeah,
I listen to
those.
Linux Questions. Jeremy in a Lug Radio.
Yeah,
us.
You know, I'm in your boat too, but
to
I
us.
Also listen to pretty much everything on DDP Hack.
I do the index. I have to listen to us.
I never listen to us, man. I lived it live.
I do the index. I have to listen to it.
I probably would listen to Evil Genius Chronicles more if I just get off my lazy butt and run my BitTorrent client.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I could see.
Why
and
don't
IT
you just grab the MP3?
Because
feed.
It's already set up to grab the BitTorrent.
No, I listen to Dave, and I listen to all the Linux ones. Which are, you know, really fantastic guys. Keep them up, you know. And that's also, by the way, how I get my Lug Radio stuff now. You know, it just kind of...
Coverville.
Yeah, it just kind of ends up in my Bash Potter directory.
And ends up there four or five different times throughout the 3 months,
yeah,
doesn't
it's,
it?
It's quite get possible,
episode
yeah.
one from the first season,
yeah,
episode 12
that's,
from the
that's
cause
they
gotta second
play with that
season.
Stuff. And the
then
other
you get
guys,
all of them again. Every couple of months,
yeah.
you get all of them.
And then, yeah, well, you know, then you can make sure that your archive is updated, right?
Yeah.
But I also listen to Whole Wheat Radio a little bit. Those guys are funny, man. I really like they.
Is that that Madge Weinstein person?
No,
that's out that's out of Alaska. Whole Wheat Radio is out of Alaska. It's actually a radio station in Alaska.
Yep, they're really funny. I like them.
I love some of the pictures on their website. It's like the mixing studio in the attic in the barn. You know?
Did you say you listen to Matthew Bischoff?
Yes.
He
hasn't been on in a while.
Oh, is that what? I'm trying to think whether I removed his feed or not. Because I haven't.
No, he hasn't been on in a while. And then, like, the last two before that were really, really short.
Okay.
So I think he's, like, busy with school right now. I expect to see some stuff from. And there's that other guy that I really enjoyed listening to. You know, the guy that bitched about it, what was it called? Dan's Ranch or something like that?
Yeah, that was.
I really enjoyed that.
I expected to be part of that and one not too long ago.
And I never hear
you don't
anything
hear
from
too
that
much.
Again, you know?
Oh, I have another one, but I just haven't put it down. It's a quarterly.
Yeah, Dan's Ranch. It's quarterly.
You know what I found today that's brand new is Leah LaPorte has got a new podcast with the guys from the old Screensaver show.
Yeah, I heard about
Kevin
that,
Rose.
Yeah.
They've done two episodes. I listened to them today, and it sounds great.
I haven't. What kind of content are they covering? I heard the first one when they were just like, you know, chewing a rag back and forth or something.
They were
like
all bitching about, you know, G4 and
is that
a bunch
dog
of pricks
up here.
Uh-huh. Yes,
yeah, the dog's back in here. I keep shooing it out.
They're basically doing the old content of the old Screensavers, you know, more technical type stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds pretty cool.
Cool. I'm gonna have to.
The only thing of the Screensavers I've ever saw, partial episode of Screensavers I ever saw was the one that was the link was posted to the log, and they had that where they were doing something online and it popped up porno
yes.
pop up.
That's the one where Matt Bischoff was on.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, the Matthew Bischoff.
You can also download the Marcel Gagne's little bit when he was on there a few months back, or it's actually last year I think some point. You can download that off of. The link is in Marcel's website. It's off the G4 feed, though.
Did you ever hear Stank Dog go off on Drawn and Drew?
Yes.
He hates that podcast.
I agree with him, too. And I have no love for Drawn and Drew myself, but
I got tired of them. I haven't listened to them.
I listened to them on the way home. It's relaxing
the
on the way home.
The very first one I heard was funny, but it's funny in a really juvenile kind of way. And then, like, after that, I completely lost interest, you know, the whole, you know, having sex on the airplane thing or whatever bit gag they were doing, you know, it just seemed like a waste of time to me. And like, I don't have any time anymore, so I want to fill it with something interesting, I guess.
No, I have an hour ride home, so sometimes that's a good way of relaxing.
Yeah, well, there you go. You could listen and take something in an hour ride home. My ride home is like 15 minutes in heavy traffic. And it just doesn't work for me. So plus, you know, I ride home with my wife, so my wife is like yakking at me the whole time too. Yep, 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 yep.
While Alan is relaxing on the highway, I'm usually passing him at that point.
Yeah, that's what we hear.
Well, yeah, no, you know, that's like the lead foot there.
Pat's playing the guitar.
I think it was every now and then Alan says, you know, I think it was Pat that passed me today, but I'm not quite sure because I didn't catch the whole
doing
look
about
of the truck.
Alan actually passed me once.
See, unfortunately, my car does not do 80 very well. It does like 75,
I got a big ass V8 in that thing, man. It flies.
You know what? You know why I stopped listening?
Well,
it flies,
but it just
why?
Winds up too
I
much.
I liked it, but it comes out every day, and it just filled it all up, you know?
Yeah, an hour a day.
Every time, and it's just no time to listen to it. I like to listen to it every once in a while, but it just was too much.
Yeah, I like listening to it every once in a while, but I can't dedicate like an hour a day to that. I just don't have the time.
I'm waiting for the Alan, the Alan and Pat show.
The yeah.
There's the Don and Drew, and then there's the Alan. Can you imagine that?
The Alan show. The Alan show is 15 seconds long once a month, right? Hey guys,
it'll be just like my blog.
Yeah, your blog post. What was the last time you posted there?
It'll be like
beginning of the month. I'm doing it monthly now.
That episode when they joined the Mile High Club.
Man. Now.
Yeah. When are we supposed to do
the Alan show? Hi, my name is Alan.
About 9 o'clock.
I just want to tell you, I went to work today. Goodbye.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. That's including my blog. That's what it would be every day.
I woke
got
up
at 4,
scratched
went
my
to work,
yeah.
came home. Got up at 4, went to work, came home. Checked my email.
Watch The Simpsons.
Yeah, notice the check your email part. He puts that in there that's like that
other,
happens.
Every other time.
No, he put that in there like it happens every day or every other day. No, it doesn't, man.
It's every, I email him.
It takes him a week and a half to get. And then he calls. He doesn't even email me back. He calls me back. Hey, Link, I saw your email. Like,
well, I
just
like the,
today.
The personal part, portion of it.
All right, anyway, are we supposed to have... some guesty type people going
yes,
on tonight.
Yes, we're
going to
have Chris Kennedy.
Because it's like 9 o'clock
well,
already,
I'm
man.
I'm giving him a couple minutes
yeah,
yet.
Give him a couple
oh,
minutes.
Okay.
We got some hate mail.
Let's hear
past.
It.
Not hate mail, but.
Yeah, well.
Hate mail, cool.
You know you've made it when you get hate mail.
That
we do get some every now and then. Not really hate mail. They
it
just
was. It was.
People bitching about things.
It was like.
Something about, you know, Dan is always picking his nose and stuff when he's talking. You can't understand him and.
It's hard to see some of the hate mail that we get because the email is just filled with this Patrick Davila guy just emailing all over the place.
I'm neurotic, aren't I?
Yes.
Which one are you talking about?
This is the one from in the last show, you said Richard Stallman did not like the term FOSS, which is untrue, and that's true. We were wrong about that. You know, we refer to the free software and open source movements together without taking sides in between. Okay. Also, I've been listening to the Tech Show now for a long time, and more recently, I've really have fallen out of love with the show. I don't listen to the show in order to sit through 30 minutes of slagging off RMS or the Linux show. I think it's really nasty habit you guys have gotten into and has in the past led me to just turning the show off and wondering why I bother to listen at all. Hopefully you guys can find some way to go back to talking about Linux, like the good old days of the Tech Show.
What's this guy's name again?
I don't know. Should we read?
Yeah, what's the name?
Daniel.
Daniel. Daniel, good, man. Go listen to something else.
Oh, no, that's not
No. Wait. Go listen to something else because obviously you have not listened to the Tech Show because we have always taken a whole bunch of time to talk about whatever the hell it is we want to talk about. Our entire show.
Many times we talk about nothing.
Our entire show is centered around the fact that we usually dedicate an entire 5 to 7 minutes of prep time between the four of us before we get on. Except for Pat, you know, when he lines up.
Many times we're late on that.
Yeah, well, many times we're late. Except for Pat, when we, you know, line up somebody that we're going to talk to. The entire premise of the show is the fact that, you know, we're talking about things that occurred during the week. Hopefully they're, you know, Linux-related techie kind of things. And
hopefully
sometimes
they're more exciting than my life.
Yeah, sometimes we rag on about the thunderstorm and the bad weather that we always seem to have every time the Tech Show happens. I mean, you know.
I think he was his point was more on the lines not about that stuff so much as ragging on, like, you know, ragging on the Linux show or poking fun at them and not being supportive or ragging on RMS.
And
ragging.
So?
Ragging.
That's part of the show, man.
Everybody's
got an opinion if you like
that's
it.
That's part
great,
of the show.
Great, if not, oh well. You know, life goes on.
It's my show, and
but
you
I think
get to hear my opinion. And if you
the Linux show thing by saying, you know, this everybody can swim in this pond, more to marry.
Just don't piss in the pond.
I don't know. I think they have
the
warm
water.
I think they have their own pond actually, but that's beside the point. But no, you want to hear some good stuff that we actually heard. We got stuff from. Are you reading more?
I don't know. It's like I should have pulled it out beforehand because, like, I tried to weed through all the.
No, don't pull it out.
File format. So I'll just pick one. Somebody. A lot of people have been recommending that. You know, I get mixed. Keep the MP3s. Definitely throw more support towards the OGG.
Yep.
They go. People are go OGG.
I heard that
Make
a lot.
Go OGG.
A lot of people. Well, it's half and half because I heard a lot of people say, you know, they MP3 is a good idea so that people who are converting over can, you know, enjoy the show too.
Now, who was it? Was it we played the MP3 last week? Do you still have that? The comment about that guy from
I don't think so.
Where he said that playing AUG files is a little more difficult. I thought he said under Linux than it is playing an MP3 file. I found it quite the opposite, particularly with today's distributions.
AUG files are play right off the bat. Yeah,
yeah. Some distributions, Fedora, Ubuntu, don't include MP3 support by default.
Right.
In the stock distribution.
Yeah.
Oh well, take it for what it's worth.
How about some good email, right?
We don't have any good email.
Yeah, we do. Here's one.
Fine, read one. I can't find
it. Here's one from Rick. Rick says, love the show, keep up the good work. He says other stuff, too, but love the show, keep up the good work. Here's one from Tracy. James Tracy. Yeah. Keep up the good work, he says. I think you guys should go with AUG and forget about MP3, but he says keep up the good work.
Well, hey, listen, here's one from Phil B. Keep up the good work. Fantastic job. Here's one from Rick QT. Oh, keep up
the
good work. How do you know that? How do we know you're actually reading emails and not just throwing names together here?
And then they got
keep up the good work.
Edward Labonte or Labonte, Labonte, something. Sorry, Ed. He said, really enjoy your show. I especially enjoy the fact that y'all seem to be Slackware aficionados. Yeah.
Slackware.
Thanks for your show, and I'll look forward to upcoming episodes. See, now that's by far and large, these are the kinds of emails that we get. And we do, believe it or not, we do get quite a few of them.
Now, speaking of Slackware, did you listen to Jeremy's interview on Linux Questions Radio that was released today?
No.
Where he asked
I haven't listened to anything.
Two gentlemen whether they use Slackware. And I don't know. They said no.
Which gentleman?
You know, I can't remember who was on there. Go to Linux Questions.
I'll have to check it out.
.org. Look at the LQ Radio. I liked it. He did a good job. You know, what I noticed, though, he used Skype, too, and he had the same issues that we had with Skype.
It's when you do this Skype out, man. I'm telling you. If you do regular Skype to Skype and you're using headsets, it sounds great.
I agree.
Who are we supposed to call first?
Chris Kennedy. Chris Kennedy is one of the primary developers of the IVTV driver for the HopHop card series of Win TV cards.
Try that one Linux, again.
Yeah.
Linux Questions Radio interview number one, Tom Edelstein, and Sam Heiser. That's who he interviewed.
Interesting interview.
By the way, make sure you listen to Linux Questions. That's good stuff.
And support them. Good website.
Good people there.
Interesting interviews.
Gave us
over
a t-shirt.
Definitely take a listen to it. But yeah, he had the same issues that we have with Skype. You notice when it was hard to tell when somebody would finish talking on a Skype call.
Right.
In a Skype, and you want to get a question, and they might start, you know. Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to Dave Slusher today, and he was mentioning the same thing. It's hard to tell sometimes.
Are we ready?
Get a little bit of lag going.
Let's call.
Go for it.
Give it a ring of
Chris.
Ding. Chris
Kennedy.
Kennedy of the IVTV developer.
Yes.
Take it away, Pat.
You could have at least done the bass line right.
But.
The Johnny Carson show.
You know what? I don't think I've ever watched a whole show of Johnny Carson.
Has been a while.
We're getting voicemail.
Oh, no. This is not the way to do
an
interview.
Hey, I didn't want to let his phone number get on the air.
Let's try Jared while Chris is getting home, wherever he's going.
Entertain us, Link. Let me entertain you.
Now we're going to try Jared Wilson.
Who is
the
author of the Fedora Myth TV how-to and also contributed to the IVTV driver as well.
I see a thread going
something,
on here.
Something, something, something words. Right?
Oh, here we go. It's
see if he picks up.
Words.
This is Jared.
Jared, how you doing? This is Pat DeVille from the Linux Link Tech Show.
Hey, how you doing?
I think you're our first cell phone, so if it sounds really crappy, we know why. Where are you? On your way home from work?
I am actually at work still.
Is this a bad time? Nasty feedback
here. Yeah, you're going to get a nice echo.
Is this a bad time? Should we try and call you back?
See if I can do something with my signal. Gee, does that sound any better?
Yes, it does. Well,
you sound great.
I sound much better. So how you doing, Jared? How
I
are
sound
you?
I'm great. I'm hearing myself every time I talk, though.
A little distracting.
That is an artifact of Skype, which I don't know. It seems to only happen when we Skype landlines.
Or cell phones.
Or, yeah, cell phones.
But anyway, we tried getting a hold of Chris first, and he wasn't available, so let's talk to you first.
See what I can do here.
Okay. Just to let everybody know, Jared is the author of the Fedora Myth TV How To. He's also a contributor for the IVTV Driver. And you're a member of, the Greater Seattle Lug? And you're a Red Hat engineer, correct? Certified engineer.
Technically fired with the release of Red Hat Enterprise 4, so I need to get that renewed. But, yeah, I know my stuff on Red Hat pretty well.
Cool. So how did you get into Myth TV?
Well, a couple of years ago, I was looking for something to do. About 2 years ago now, I was self-employed at the time. Actually, had lost my job and was working independently as a consultant in between jobs and had lots of spare time. So I figured, hey, I'll try and put together a PBR system. I started out actually looking at Frevo primarily, but then read lots of stuff about many people leaving Frevo for MythTV. So I decided to check out MythTV instead. Been 2 years now, still using it.
The very first install, how hard was it?
Oh, wow. it was pretty rough.
How many hours did you burn?
Version 0.8. So there's been 10 releases, or 10 or 11 releases since then. And it was pretty rough around the edges. I think I spent about 30 hours or so over the course of the week. And did finally get it up on the first try without erasing the box.
Now, you've decided to use Fedora as your base. Is this just a logical choice because, you come from a Red Hat background?
Pretty much, yeah. I actually started out on Red Hat 9. Which is what I've been using at work.
Have you received a lot? Have you received a lot of positive feedback?
Say that again?
Have you received feedback from people who have used your method to install MythTV?
Yeah, I get quite a bit of positive feedback all over the place.
I used it, and it saved me a lot of time.
I saw Pat use it, and it looked great.
Yeah. I saw him. Yeah.
it took me literally about two and a half hours to get it running. Using your how-to and Axel Thin's repository for the RPM packages.
Uh-oh. Hold on just a second.
Sure.
Let's see if I can do something for you. Actual speed. If that'll work a little better. I'm having trouble hearing it.
Okay. Now, you work closely with Axel Thim, who maintains the ATRPM repository. How long have you been working with him?
couldn't understand you there.
In your how-to, you reference Axel Thim's ATRPM repository for all the packages. How long have you worked with Axel? How long have you been working with Axel with the packages?
How long have I been using packages?
No, Axel Thim's repository. How long have you been using his package repository? Did you guys like team up early, or was that something that just happened later on?
Can you hear Pat?
Not really. I can hear you a lot better than I can hear him.
Okay. This question was, you've been working with Axel Thim and the ATRPM repository, and his question was, how long has that relationship been going on?
Almost 2 years now.
And is that going to continue?
Oh, definitely.
Good.
Definitely. We're actually working on expanding support further. We'd like to expand to other RPM distros, although up first, fleshing out Red Hat Enterprise Linux support. And with Fedora Core 4, we may also PowerPC as well.
Ooh, what are some of the hurdles on the PowerPC side?
Lots of stuff that just doesn't like to compile.
I mean, hardware, it seems, I know sound or audio hardware on the PowerPC side is very finicky. How has the capture hardware been on the PowerPC side?
Haven't really gotten that far with it.
Oh, okay.
What about AMD 64?
Now, you guys working on AMD 64 support?
Oh, yeah. There's been Athlon 64 support since sometime around the Fedora Core 2 release. I don't think it was really available, but a little while after. So there's x86 64 packages for Core 2, Fedora Core 3, and Fedora Core 4 pre-releases, the test releases, and for Red Hat Enterprise Linux 4.
Now, you've started to go into the high-definition cards. I know of two high-definition cards, the HD 3000 and the Air 2 PC. Which card do you recommend?
That depends. Depends on what you're after. And the HD 2000 you can actually not get more. At least not new. They ran out of parts for that card to be replaced by the G3000. The 3000 is a better card than the 2000, though, because you can also record cable high definition. Then the Air to PC card is actually supposed to be a bit better card. It's a newer generation T-modulator on it. So there's supposed to be more that's done in hardware than in software when you're recording. It's supposed to handle weaker signals over the air. I bought an Air-to-PC card myself, hoping to be using it with my cable service, and later found out that the card doesn't fully support cable frequencies. So I'm one of the people who's got an Air-to-PC card that pretty much nothing with cable, but there are some folks that get something with the Air-to-PC, and there's a new revision of the Air-to-PC that's supposed to be out soon that actually supports the HDPC. So that'll be the card that I go after, I think.
The new version of the Air-to-PC?
Yeah.
They go for about the same price,
yeah,
right?
I'm sorry.
160 or so?
Yeah, that's about what they're running. Not a whole lot of places you can get them, and stock is kind of short.
We're under the gun here because in July the broadcast flag comes into effect, right? So we have to buy them before July.
Yes.
What are you going to recommend after July? Move to Europe?
Good question.
Canada.
Canada.
Cable boxes work quite well.
Yeah.
There's actually some FCC regulations that say, well, I'm actually, you know what, I don't know if those will... those will probably have flood cuts. Never mind. I don't know. It's kind of wait and see at the moment.
So do you think, I don't know if you can answer this, but they're going to come out and implement this broadcast flag. How soon from the implementation of the broadcast flag do you think that they're going to have a hack to work around the broadcast flag? Or is that not possible?
I'm thinking probably it'll happen quick.
I bet within the same day.
I don't see why there's any reason you couldn't just write a driver north. An MPEG-2 transport stream broadcast over the air. Just ignore the flag. I'm sure it was not that hard.
The other thing that's a possibility...
I don't actually know a lot of technical details in there, though. So.
The other thing that's a possibility is some of the newer cable boxes have FireWire outs, and I'm sure someone's going to get, you know, be able to hack through the FireWire port to pull video off of there.
Yeah, that's already been done.
Well, that's...
I have a Motorola C6200 cable box at home that I'm pulling video off of via FireWire in the mist.
And how hard was that?
That was actually really easy to set up.
Because that Motorola model, that 6200, that seems to be the standard high-definition cable box that most of the cable companies are using now.
Yeah, there's that one, and then a Scientific Atlanta 3250 that is in use in a couple of markets. Motorola definitely seems to be the one.
Have you read that article going back that about is, 3 months ago from the New York Times where they basically equated Myth TV users as file sharers?
Yeah.
I know there was a lot of discussion on the mailing list for the Myth TV people about it.
Again.
That whole article with the New York Times going back, and I think it was January or February. They were basically equating.
Yeah, I read the article. Pretty much just someone who didn't do their research and just went for something that'll sell papers of what we summed it up to. There's actually a guy on the Myth TV mailing list who knows one of the authors of that article. The guy he knows was actually down when the article went to print, and the other guy sort of put his on. Nobody was really happy about the guy who made it down to use it for pilots.
Yeah, and the response from the mailing was...
utterly false. I've never shared a TV show with anybody and never downloaded a TV show from any other Myth user. So, yeah. And they're out, people doing things like that are out there, but people do that, you know, it's different than anything else.
You do fantastic work, Jared. I appreciate everything you did in the how-to. It saved me a lot of time, and I'm sure it saved other people a lot of time, too. On Jared's website, he has a PayPal donation to help, for him to buy new hardware and to document what needs to be done for the different types of hardware using Myth TV, and also for Axel for maintaining the ATRPM's repository. Jared, I'd love to talk to you longer, but this is a really bad connection.
Yeah.
Maybe you can come back on a landline or on Skype, and we could talk. Longer.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you very much for actually taking some time to talk about your work with the Fedora project and Myth Fedora. I look forward to building my first Myth box one day when I get the money to buy the hardware. So thank you very much, Jared, and
Slackware packages, Jared. That's what we want. Slackware packages.
I someone was making for a while. I haven't heard about it.
It's a.
I don't know.
So we'll actually.
Thanks for having me on, though.
We'll let you get back to work. Are you still at work?
All right.
All right, so thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again later.
Thanks, Jared.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a nice night.
Good
night.
Bye-bye. Wow. The interview would have went much longer had we had a better connection. So now we know not to call somebody on a cell phone.
But we're supposed to call Sean on it, or Chris on a cell phone.
No, he's not on a cell phone. This is actually a regular number.
What happens if we call him and it sucks? So, I mean, not that Chris is going to, I mean, but the sound quality.
Like, not that Chris is going to suck, no.
We go to Plan B.
Let's see. We
take some Skype calls from our listeners.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This Skype came out of the bullpen running, man. He just, and now it seems to be like the first couple of ones we've done. The sound quality was pretty good.
It's still pretty good, I think.
Yeah, it's good, but
it's got limitations. I think that's the bottom line.
The problem is that whole dialing and. That whole going through a landline or a cell phone or something like that. And, you know, what people don't realize is that when Skype works really, really good, it's working good because you have two isolated circuits. You have your earpiece is isolated from your microphone on a PC. And in a phone, it's not. In a phone, they're connected together because, like, you know, when you talk on a phone, you hear yourself talk. The circuit isn't isolated, and you get a little loop back through that. Plus, I think there's some extra added lag going to Skype out, which is
because it's going all over the world to get to you.
It's going into Europe, and then from Europe they're like dialing back to America or whatever.
You know what? We got to stop touching that volume control over there because the volume just took a dump over here.
During the call or after the call? Pass.
I don't know. Whenever it got turned down over there, and it turns, because I think that's what happened last week. Like when the Skype phone call came on, the audio took a dump on the AUG. It went down, and it got
it
really.
That's a separate circuit. That's on the monitor line.
Yeah, but
that,
you just turned it up over there, and now.
Well, I just turned the monitor off. That's why.
Yeah, people commenting on the IRC that the volume went down real quick.
Down
like
now or
it's back? It's back.
It's back now because I don't know whatever Alan did.
It's that whole Skype thing. You know, we need to set up the other mixer for Skype, and then we'll just have put a big box.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Let's try Chris.
Let's try him. Except we have to turn. He's not going to hear us if we don't turn. There we go.
How come when you do that, like the volume in this air goes down?
Because the monitor is a mono line.
It's
only coming off the left channel. Or the right channel, I mean.
Alan's got his eye on the gold and his hands.
Your call has been forwarded.
Oh, voicemail again.
Well,
so much for Christopher tonight.
That one's not going to happen tonight. Or something.
Uh-huh.
Let's turn this down so we can actually hear ourselves again. Shall we?
Plan B, gentlemen.
How's the volume look? Is it down? Up? Down? Up,
gotta go back.
Down.
Gotta go back. Gotta go. Looks
all
right.
Okay.
Down. Looks okay.
Looks pretty good.
Okay.
Looks all right.
We just got to check these things out because you know if we don't get it just right, then you guys complain and bitch at us afterwards at this stuff.
Right? Wait a minute.
Guys can't hear you.
I wish we could play this back while we're recording it. Then you could see how the volume is going. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Something.
Do it.
Hey, you know, I'm still, my big thing is at work is still doing that huge rollover project with
that's going
MySQL
on
and PHP. Yes, it is going on forever, but I still.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the.
I still am digging
the
it.
The hardware
man.
Change around.
No. I gotta do that too. We're going to. We're for a big marketing company, and we have like this dialer that does outbound predictive dialing. And we are going to take 9 voice tees, voice T1 lines. That's 9 times 24 lines, 24 trunks apiece. And I'm going to push them through three T1s and convert them to voice over IP and run all of those conversations.
With the Asterix card?
No. Not yet. No, I'm gonna convert
them. I expected
you
to have that up and running by now.
I'm going to push them through three data T's, and that's going to be cooler than hell. I'm going to have voice over IP from Texas to Pennsylvania running 9x24 trunks.
And we could do the show at your place.
Yeah,
sure. Have any problems.
Link's boss will let us come over.
Sure.
That means every interview we do, we have to also solicit them.
No, you know what I was thinking? Like, because remember I mentioned a few shows ago that Panera, that bakery, Panera bread place, they are the largest supplier, I guess, now of free Wi-Fi access in, like, the United States. And conveniently enough, Dan just happens to have a Panera Bread joint that just opened up like 2 miles down the road from his house. So I was thinking one of these days we ought to do the Panera Tech Show.
Where? 2 miles from the house?
It's right down between 12 and 22.
Center Street.
It just opened up. Brand new Panera Bread store.
A little shopping center over by the river.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I know the
man.
One over there at
No, they like, because my company is just like a couple miles farther from there.
Trying to run the show from there and doing all the recording.
They keep coming up with, like, they come up to my work with, like, muffins and shit. And you know, that really goes over well with a bunch of...
Do you know the Muffin Man?
Do you know the Muffin Man? A bunch of overworked office people. You know, they come there with muffins and bagels and crap like that. They don't even make it in the door. They get mobbed. It's hysterical. Bread Tech. There's.
Has anybody ever tried using the wireless connectivity in Panera? I mean,
no, I haven't. I want to try sometime.
I mean, it's not something where they offer it, but you have to have, like, some account through Verizon or something.
I don't believe you have to have an account. I think it's open.
It's an open free wireless access.
You know, I take one of their. Just drive down the road, you're going to hit about 10 of them.
No, well, this would be legal, right? Because they actually let you use it.
No, you got to get the wireless one that's floating around outside your house here, from the power line one.
Well, the power, yeah.
That's like right outside. Yeah. The PPNL one's right outside your house.
Yeah. My boss asked me this question. This is a loaded ethical question. She said to me, "Do you ever use another person's wireless network if they don't secure it? Have you ever done that?" And then she went on. I said, "You know, sometimes I've done it." And she said, "Do you think that that's ethical to do that? What's your opinion?" And I said, "It all depends, you know, because I want to take the middle of the road." If you're going to leave your wireless network open and I need to use it, I'll just, and it's there. Why not?
Yep.
Her response was, and she said that she didn't give me an answer, but she said she kind of agreed with this guy she heard on the radio who said, if you have your own internet connection and you pay for internet service, then ethically, that guy thinks there's nothing wrong with using another person's wireless access point not for illegal measures, just for connectivity to get on the net. Because you're already paying for access to the internet.
For access.
Or the interweb. I don't know who.
Unfortunately, you're not paying for that guy's bandwidth.
Right.
That's the problem.
I think it's okay as long as you're not doing anything illegal and the FBI doesn't come knocking on another person's door.
As long as you don't get caught, it's legal.
Even if you do. Actually, it depends on, you know, pretty much what you're doing, I guess. The maliciousness of the event at hand. Because I know, you know, some of us like to just drive around to see what we can find.
My neighborhood is about 7.
Pretty much, you know,
networks.
You're on their damn network
if you're connected
and getting an IP address. So
yeah, if you're getting an IP,
whether you're
using
it or not.
See, this day, this
have to drive around with the PlayStation Portable and the wireless.
Aside from, you know, it's almost impossible to lock down a wireless internet connection. Mm-hmm. I mean, WEP is gone.
Yeah.
I think WPA is a new thing.
That's what I use, WPA.
And
they have WPA 2, don't they?
I don't know, but I don't even think my wireless base station supports that.
I'm sure mine
doesn't. The Linksys doesn't. I don't know if there's a firmware upgrade. So
I'm sure mine.
You know, I go down. I tried the web route, but it's like, what the heck? You know, if you want to come and use it. I do the MAC address limitation.
That's what I do. It seems to work for me.
If you're going to come and, you know, try and crack into my, you know, crack the...
Spoof your MAC ID.
No, it was. No, Web's not there anymore. If you're going to spoof my Mac.
But you know what? In reality, and everybody says, oh, well, I use a weapon, WPA. No one has ever cracked mine, blah, blah, blah. I heard this before. But, like, if someone is willing to come and sit outside your house and spoof.
For long enough, they can do it.
And someone's coming and willing to come and sit outside your house and spoof a MAC address to get on your network, I don't give a crap what you think. They will get on it somehow. They'll wait until you leave and just break in the damn window and get on it. There's no way you can secure your network that well. You know what I mean?
But Vern.
You know, I don't care if you're using WPA or not. Someone will crack that soon, too. Or, you know, or perhaps some idiot just, like, leaves a network cable hanging out of
about
his window.
Run some wires.
No, no. If you're that concerned about it, like, turn it off when you're not using it, right?
Gorkon says, Dan, get a Linksys WRT54G. That's what I have, actually.
Yeah, I'm just going to go out and buy one right after
this
show.
It's a real nice router, man.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But like I said, the one I have down there works great. And,
Price is great,
huh? If you don't need the G, you don't have to buy it.
I'm going to try the video with the G. That's why I got that.
I have a B card. In fact, I have several B cards, so buying a G router probably just isn't going to do it for me.
Yeah, I have B cards too. I need to find a wireless G card. Is there a USB wireless G card that works in Linux yet?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Because I know you could get the Broadcom cards to work using the NDS wrapper.
Wrapper, yeah.
And I don't have any PCMCIA card slots on this, right? Maybe when I get my daughter's machine.
I want the lazier route. I just bought one of those Linksys bridges.
Right.
And all you do is plug in through your regular Ethernet port, and it thinks it's a wired connection.
Oh.
It's seamless.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
It's more expensive, though. That's the only thing.
Well, I think you can still get a DWL, 122 or something? Is it DWL 122?
Yeah.
For like $40, $30. Yeah. So, until they run out of those.
You know?
I got something we could talk about. You know, I was going to save it for this show or next show. We had a question came in on the forum from Judlin. And his question was about file permissions. And he wanted to make a shared music file folder where that everybody in his house, whatever, would put their music in there and assign it to a group called Listeners. And the question, he had a problem that every time somebody would add files or create a directory in there, the permissions of that directory or file would be set so that the owner was the only one who had read-write capability to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can set the sticky bit on a directory, the group sticky bit, which then results in every file that's created or directory that's created in that directory ends up being the group owner is whatever group you set it for. For instance, if you had a listeners group, every file or directory created in there would be then assigned to the listeners group, right?
Right.
But then you run up against another problem that the default UMask, being 022, results in files being created with read-write for the owner, read-execute, and read-execute for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you have the group owns it as listeners, and they have read-write access to the directory, any file that you create in there or any directory, you can't add to it. Because it's by default gives him only read and execute permissions.
Right.
So he said, you know, how do I get around that? And there is a way to get around that. It's kind of a limitation that you have. Now,
I would say change your UMask, you know.
But, you know, there's a couple ways. You could do changing the UMask, but when you change the UMask, what ends up happening, your home directory by default is the group as users. Now, that means everybody.
Depending on the distribution, yeah.
Yeah, chances are in Slackware, it's users. Mm-hmm. So your home directory would be your name, and the group would be users. So then people in the users group could actually go in there. You change your UMask, any file, to make it writable by group, any file that you create in your home directory would then be writable by users, unless you change your UMask back.
Right.
So now you have a problem, but any file you create is writable by the group if you change your UMask. but you don't necessarily want to do that. Another thing that you could do would be every time you create a directory or a file, you run, you know, use chmod to change permissions. But now you have to make sure that the person, you know, remembers to do that mm-hmm. whenever they add to the files. Now, you could also have the person who runs, you know, the root on the machine set up a cron job that every couple of seconds it'll go through and set the permissions with chmod. But there is a better way to do this.
Mm-hmm. And it's pray really, tell, how would that be, Dan?
Really not that hard. It's the use of access control lists, okay? Access control lists. Have you guys read up about any of this yet?
No.
Access control lists are really cool. Primarily, they're only available in the 2.6 series of kernels, but you can get patches for the 2.4 series kernels. I haven't tried them on the 2.4 series kernels yet. It's a lot of patching, recompiling your kernel. But the 2.6, it works on the ext2, ext3, and XFS file systems. It's not supported under Riser yet. And basically what access control lists do is allow you to extend the attributes of the general Linux file permissions. Again, you're still sticking with read, write, and execute. But now, whereas in the past you can only provide owner, group, and everybody else permissions, now you can further fine-tune that to include any user on the system, any group on the system. You can give one group read-write permissions and another group read-write-execute permissions and another group just read and execute permissions. You can give individual users different permissions to your files and directories like so. So, in talking about access control lists, I posted a couple of links off the forum. I'm going to post the forum topic that into the actual list. But what you would actually do, okay, first thing that you need to do is you need to make sure you have support for the ACLs, for the extended attributes on your file system. Again, 2.6 kernel, chances are if your distribution is running it, it's enabled by default. Second thing that you need to do is you need to mount the file system or the partition with the ACL option. Okay, that's the first problem I had. Right, by default, you know, when you look at your default settings for mount in your FS tab, chances are like root, home, whatever is mounted by defaults. Defaults, do not include the ACL right now, ACL attributes. So you have to remount your file system with the ACL attributes. Now, I don't recommend that you, unless you really want to, but when you start playing around with this, you might not want to give it right off the root. Okay, maybe you want to play around people's home, you know, with
separate partition,
home partition. I started with I have a couple of separate data partitions that I mount right off of MNT, and I set one of them with ACL support. So you just mount that with ACL support, okay? And then as an example of what Judlin was asking, I set up a little directory in there, and the first thing I did was I set it for a specific group called listeners, okay, so that anybody in a listeners group would be able to supposedly read-write files into that directory. I then used chmod to set the sticky bit for the group. Okay, so that means any file or directory created in there is automatically owned by that said group. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, like we talked about before, because of the UMASC settings in Linux, every file you create in there is going to be read-write for you, the owner, read, execute for the group, or just read if it's a file. Mm-hmm. So now we want to overcome that. Now we can do that with ACLs. It's pretty darn simple to do. All right, with ACLs you use basically two commands. One is set AFCL, and the other one is get AFCL. Using set, you can set the extended attributes, and using get, you can see what attributes you've assigned to each file. Everybody with me so far?
Yeah. Question? Can't you also take care of this problem with? I had a similar problem with this, and I'm just looking, trying to go back into my notes, and I think that the way that I had tackled this was that I used a network drive our network directory and mounted a directory through network.
Well, you could do
and
that.
And I controlled it that way.
But this is really simple, all right? So now that the directory is created, okay, there are, when you set permissions with access control, you basically, you say set FACL and the M for adding a permission, modify, and then you basically say, well, I want to give it a user, colon, username, colon, and the permissions, like read, execute, read, write, execute,
mm-hmm.
and it'll assign that specific user those permissions to that directory or file. Same thing with the group. It would be group, colon, the name of the group, colon, and what permissions you want to assign.
Right.
And that's great. Now, at that point, you can assign the scanner group or the music group, whatever you want, to have read-write permissions. Okay? So they already have that with the by setting the group. By setting group ID, everything in there is assigned read-write to that scanner group or listening group, but it does not solve the problem of the UMask.
Right.
There is a wonderful little option in there about setting the default permissions for the user or for a group or any group. And if you set it, it's default group, and it'll give the UMask, any file created in there by that members of that group will be assigned the mask that you have given them. So if you give the listener group read, write, and execute, any file in there then would be that's created by a person in the listener group will have read, write, accessibility, or execute. So you solve that problem. And then everything under there is so much easier. It takes a little while to get a handle on access control lists. But there's a couple of, like I said, the posts on the forum that I added. You read through those, and in a few minutes you're going to be hammering away at access control lists and be able to solve sharing problems like that.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I mean, it's like I said, it's really...
I may have to play with that.
It's really simple to do once you get it down. Again... Really, really.
Like I said, I did run into that problem, but I think the way that I got around it is that I used shared directory through Samba.
Right.
So I do Samba shares, and when you do the mount, the Samba mount, you can specify your file attributes, rewrite or whatever.
You can specify the mask there that
right.
when files are created in there.
The file mask. And so I did that, and... And that's how I got around it. I never really thought about trying to get around that on a drive that wasn't shared, though, that wasn't mounted that way, when it was just a local drive or something like that.
For streaming the audio, Link, I tried an application you recommended going back a couple months ago. I forget the name of it. It was MP3
something.
Yeah, it was very good, man. Really
easy
to set up. You know.
Yeah, I still use it, man. I love that thing.
It's great.
What does that have to do with AF access control list?
Well, they're talking about
music.
Sharing music.
You don't need them if you use that.
No,
everybody
you're right.
Can.
That's right. But when you know, if your wife uses your computer and you want to have a shared, you know, or if, for instance, if we were sharing.
Why would I want my wife to use my computer?
You know,
I got her wrong.
I'm sorry. Go back to your stream and talk.
No, I tried. It's really cool, man. You can access your songs list over the internet and everything and stream it. And it's really easy to get going. All you need is Apache running, and you don't even need Apache, right?
Is that legal to stream it across the internet? Like
why not? You can password protect it. You can do what you want. You're not. It's not.
But if somebody else picks up that stream,
anybody.
No. But it's a stream. It's not. It doesn't pull itself off as like downloadable content. Not that you couldn't.
Unless you use a stream ripper, but you would need to know the address beforehand.
It actually streams it out. But, you know, like I password protect mine, and it really isn't available over the internet anyway, because that would suck all of my bandwidth up, you know?
Everyone just ripping
not
your music.
Not that that wouldn't be cool to, like, go to work and, you know, click on my playlist at home and have it play. But that would just really suck all my bandwidth
up. I tried that, and it worked.
As cool as that sounds, I'll just not do that until, of course, I get my T1, which will be sponsored by the Tech Show listeners, right? Somebody send me money so I can buy a T1? Come on. How about a T3?
OC4?
T3. And we'll share the bandwidth between all of us. We're all going to move in houses right next door to each other. Right here on Dan's house, and we're going to get a big giant
I thought we
T3.
Just put a big giant antenna up on top of Dan's house.
There we could do that, too.
So that was Joe Simpson's place because he was on top of the mountain.
Yeah, that's right. Another friend of ours wants a giant antenna. Anyway.
30 miles.
Yeah.
Make you sterile with that thing.
So when I refine my access control list presentation, which I actually started looking at this, what, 2 days ago for the first time. So I will have that for the next lug meeting.
No, that sounds that sounds pretty cool.
I'll have more information on doing it. Now, you can do access control lists over NFS, too. And I think you could also do them over Samba, I think.
Yeah, but why would you need to? You know what I mean? Over NFS and Samba, you can't just...
You know what? If you wanted
to. You can adjust the attributes that way.
And I want to look, I want to read more into it. I just did a cursory review of this. I'd like to know, I'd be interested to know where.
You were cursing at it. What?
Yeah. Is actually how this all works. So I'm going to read some of the white papers.
You going to do a lug presentation, Dan?
Yes. The next meeting, I'm going to do a presentation on ACLs. Skippy, skippy, skippy.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Maybe Link will actually show up to this one, too.
Maybe.
I don't think it'll come as close to the excitement that Pat's generated.
You know, I have to be honest, man. The day I did the presentation was the first meeting that I went to in about 4 months.
Yeah.
Shame
on me.
It
was a good presentation, though.
It was a fantastic presentation.
We posted the link. Alan recorded it with his iRiver, and he was so gracious to post the link for everybody.
Yeah, I have to learn to not record at such a high bit rate like I did the last time.
Big file.
It wasn't that big.
What was it, like 15?
Yeah, I cut a whole bunch out of it, and I resampled it on it because it was like 128 mono, and it was like 40 megs.
Yeah, but that's like an hour show, right? So.
Oh, yeah, there's about 35 minutes on there. I knocked it down to like 15 megs.
And that didn't include the end, but, you know, I did the demo.
When it started getting noisy, I decided that there was nothing else really being said.
Yeah, nothing. More relevant information.
Do we want to take a Skype call from one of our listeners? We haven't done that in a while.
No, we don't like our listeners. Oh, yeah, sure.
Who wants to call in?
I don't think anybody wants to call in.
Okay, but the volume is going to drop again.
We'll deal with it.
I don't even think we have anybody on.
Oh, the Waffle House. Somebody's talking about.
The Waffle House.
Vladster.
They got their place up in Allentown. I thought that was disgusting up there.
Waffle House. What, the Waffle House in Allentown?
Should all take off out of here and go down to Panera Bread and get a muffin.
Are they open?
I think it closes at 9.
You just want to visit the Muffin Man.
Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man. I used to sing that to my kid, man.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Holy
bejesus.
All right. Hello?
Snack lifter.
Oh. Hello?
Sorry. Hello? Sorry, we hit the volume up a little bit.
Wow. We just blew our eardrums out.
Oh, man.
How's it going?
Dude, my ears are bleeding, man.
Why was there such a reverb on his?
He must be listening through his speakers. Hey, what's happening?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Can you hear us? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
What is it, like 4 a.m. over there now?
Yeah, good, good. Sat here in the basement, you guys go on about.
Do you think like we're hitting up to, like on the edge of our bandwidth here? That's why
Skype
like, having so much trouble with Skype. 3
a.m.
Yeah. 3 a.m., huh?
I'm sorry to keep you up this late.
Snack man, turn your speakers off.
Got to listen through a headset, dude.
Right, okay. Give me 2 seconds.
No problem.
Okay.
Just a word of advice. When anybody calls in with Skype.
Turn your radio down.
Kill the stream. Shut the speakers off and use a headset.
You always hear like the DJs in the morning saying that same thing, right? Turn your radio down. We can hear you back over your phone.
Yeah, headsets definitely work better with Skype. Because
no speakers in the background.
It's all isolated, and you're nice and clear, usually.
Well, wait a minute. Is he still on? Are we still connected?
Yeah, he's still connected. He's getting headphones.
He's going to blow our ears off when he calls again.
No, I cranked the volume up before with the cell phone because it was so low. Oh, I forgot to turn it back down. Oops.
4 a.m., I'm usually getting up for work.
Takes my breath away.
I know, so am I.
Alan does the same trick that I do every morning. Get up at 4 a.m. and get our asses to work, out the door by 5.
You guys should carpool together.
He's actually closer. I go a little further out.
4 a.m. Dan and I are going to bed at 4 a.m. You know?
Well, look, Alan's getting up. I'm going to bed.
Snack, how you doing now? Can you hear us now a little better?
Yeah, I'll put some earphones in.
Much better.
Oh, wow. That sounds a lot better, man.
So what's happening?
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. There's some ridiculous kind of lag on this. I can hear you guys talking about it afterwards or something.
What if the lag's on?
I was just saying, are we bumping
it's
up
a really,
against...
It's like a tech.
I think we're bumping up against the bandwidth here.
It's possible. So what have you been doing lately? Anything interesting? Snecky, still there? I tell you, man, Skype is not agreeing with us today.
I guess he got disconnected. Hello?
Hello?
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, I'm here.
So what are you up to, man?
No, I don't know what's...
Wow, this is really cool.
What a delay, man.
How about we just do this by, like, carrier pigeon or some shit, Snack, huh? Wouldn't that be easier?
Yeah, it's like you're on the moon.
Guys, I'm going to have to hang up. It's
ridiculous. Later, man.
All right, man. We'll catch you on IRC, but thanks a lot for calling, dude.
Oh, you know what I think the problem is?
What's the problem?
I think the problem is we have 20 people connected to the Icecast server.
There you go.
That could be a problem.
Probably what the
problem
is.
We're having this bandwidth thing.
Alan wins the prize. He nailed it.
So I think what we're going to have to
do. That Alan guy, he's freaking paying attention again.
I got to limit the connections back down again.
Limit them to like 10. How come you are not connecting to BinRev? They have this huge, fat pipe where you can suck down our entire show.
Or what's the other one?
The
Canadian Techie one.
Canadian Techie.
No, there's another one too, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
They're up on
our
page.
We have many of them now.
Yeah, we have quite a few. They're up on the page. Check them out. And thank you to all the providers as well. But
yeah, not that we don't want you listening.
We just don't want you listening.
I think they want to hook in. Because the downside with BinRev, and BinRev's great. We come on right at 8:30 with BinRev.
Right.
So I think people are trying to connect before 8:30 so they don't miss anything. Any of our action-packed show.
the opening show.
That's Russ. You ain't missing anything.
Gorkon just said that, too. He says, you guys have been going over, so that's why we're connecting over here. So what we need to have is, like, people who want to hang out with us until, you know.
For the extra bonus section.
The bonus material at the end where we just swear and cuss at each other and spit and
stuff. Easter egg.
Fart and stuff like that. Listen to, you know. Dan's kid to take a shower in the next room and
the dog
and the
scratching
dog
at the door.
Yeah, mediasysop.canada.
Yeah, Canada, not California, yeah. Dan.
CA's Canada, Dan.
You'll never live that one down either. All right, well, listen, everybody, we got 1 minute. Do you want
to? So we're going to try not to go.
Up, man.
No, we have 2 minutes.
I got 21:59.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the official BinRev clock.
He's on the BinRev clock.
I'm looking at the BinRev clock. I don't care about what your clock
is. Okay.
So who's coming on next week?
Me.
Yeah, why don't you go through the list there?
We got Dave Slusher coming next week. And we also
he's going to come this week, but we already had like two people to talk to.
Yeah,
that worked out. We also got Brian Tarracone, who's one of the XFCE developers. He'll be on.
Yeah.
And then the week after that...
And Dave Slusher.
Yes, Dave Slusher.
And Dave Slusher.
And the week after that, I am hoping...
And Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles.
I'm hoping to get Ian Murdoch
Evil
lined
Genius
up.
Chronicles.
You Debian people.
Dave Slusher. Go now and listen to Dave Slusher.
When are we getting Linus on?
Evil Genius Chronicles.
Right after we get Patrick Volkerding.
right after we get Charlie Brown.
Together.
Right?
Yeah. They're coming on
we
together.
We get Charlie Brown first, and then Linus will come on.
Patrick doesn't do interviews.
No, but it'd be really cool if we did. Patrick Volkerding, if you are listening, we really, You don't even have to like give us an interview. Just like say hello and send it to us in a
that'll
in an MP3
run
and we'll
Ethereal
play
a real
it.
Player yeah. while he's trying to make a Skype call.
Oh man.
So for the 11th, I'm trying to get Ian Murdoch, for those of you who didn't hear what I just said.
Well, I'm also trying to get a hold of the authors.
Wrap
for this,
it up, B.
The authors for this here book should be coming on the 11th. Ben Goodger.
Play us
out. He's a forward.
20 seconds.
Book review coming up. Stay tuned. We'll more about that next week. And we're out of here, boys.
Play the
girls.
Music. Wrap it up.
Peace.
Peace.
Good night, all.
Peace out.
Linux Link Tech Show.